Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
I'm just singing some of my favorite show tunes because today I'm going to the theater, live theater, real people singing and dancing on stage. It's matinee day today in New York City, and that means that all of the theaters have a special afternoon performance. All I have to do is decide which show I want to see. And believe me, there's a lot to choose from. I'm gonna have a little breakfast and really study this decision. I've got my newspapers and magazines with all of the theater listings right here. You know, seeing a Broadway show in New York City is something that millions of people do every year. And even though there are wonderful theaters in every city and town, Broadway theater is just, well, it's bigger. It's famous for being the best of the best. And that's exactly why Aunt Lena goes to the Broadway Theater every Wednesday afternoon in this book, When Aunt Lena Did the Rumba.
When Aunt Lena Did the Rumba, by Eileen Curtis Kleinman. Illustrated by Diane Greenside. Narrated by Lucy Arnaz. When my Aunt Lena did the Rumba, Grandma said the whole house shook. Aunt Lena taught me how to cha-cha and do the Charleston. Sophie, you're a natural, a born star if there ever was one. Aunt Lena loved dancing and movie stars, but most of all, she loved her Broadway musical. Every Wednesday, off to the matinee she'd go, leaving a trail of lavender-smelling perfume behind her. Later that evening, Aunt Lena's taxi would drive up in front of the house. Oh, darling! Magnificent! Absolutely magnificent! Gushed Aunt Lena as she flung open the kitchen door. She'd waltz around the kitchen, humming the music and acting out the romance between the handsome hero and the beautiful heroine. One Wednesday, in the middle of a show-stopping number, Aunt Lena slipped on a piece of cooked cabbage and landed, thump, right on her big rump. Oh, oh, I can't get up. Help me, please, she wailed. Don't move. Now listen to me. I'm your mother, directed my grandma. Lena, don't you move. As it turned out, Aunt Lena had sprained her ankle. The doctor says I've got to rest until it gets better. Shopping, bingo, and the beauty parlor I can do without. But my Wednesday matinee, that's what I'll miss. Suddenly, I got an idea. But I needed some help. I tiptoed into the living room where Uncle Dutch sat buried in the newspaper. Uncle Dutch, I said in my sweetest, pretty please voice, let's put on a show for Aunt Lena. If she can't go to her Wednesday musical matinee, maybe her matinee can come to her. Uncle Dutch made annoyed, grumbling sounds. So I tried Uncle Sol. Uncle Sol said, Sophie, be a good girl. Get me some soda. I hung my head and trudged to the kitchen. Grandma, Aunt Lena is very sad because she can't go to her matinee, and I want to make a musical show for her. Won't you help me?
What would you like me to do? Grandma asked.
Well, maybe you can help me with my costume. I need a feather boa and many necklaces and long gloves and a big hat. Maybe we could borrow records. Then we could have music, too. We could sing songs from Aunt Lena's favorite shows. My grandma started to laugh, a really big laugh. Half an hour later, I appeared downstairs in the living room in full costume. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some.
I sang with all the heart I could muster.
I don't care if I never.
Uncle Sally joined in.
And then Uncle Dutch picked me up and danced me around the living room.
At the old ball game.
My grandma came in to applaud us at the end. Oh, Grandma, aren't they divine? I said, using one of Aunt Lena's favorite words. The kitchen became our rehearsal stage. Every evening for the next few days, while Aunt Lena slept and my grandma cooked supper, we practiced our show. Finally, Wednesday arrived. We waited in the kitchen for our cue. Suddenly, Aunt Lena's voice boomed from upstairs.
Hey, what's going on in here?
She's up, whispered my grandma. Curtain time. Uncle Dutch led our chorus line. Uncle Sally circled around him, blasting his bugle.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square.
We sang with my grandma and me bringing up the rear, whirling tassels we'd borrowed from the living room drapes.
Be there!
With that, Uncle Dutch and my grandma launched into a terrific tango. I followed across the floor cheek to cheek with my stuffed dog, Dolores. Meantime, Aunt Lena chuckled, cackled, and applauded with great delight.
Encore! Encore! Ooh!
Our show had made Aunt Lena laugh, and laughing seemed just the thing to help her get better. Days later, she pointed her finger at me and announced,
get your patent leather pumps and pink pocketbook, honey. Have I got a surprise for you?
We whisked into the theater and up the steps to Aunt Lena's balcony seats. As the lights dimmed and everyone grew quiet, Aunt Lena put her warm, perfumed arm around me and whispered, now, here's where the magic begins.
Sophie was pretty surprised to find the joy of singing and dancing right inside her. It took a little convincing, but she finally got her whole family to join in too. You know, sometimes someone has to give you a little push to help you take a chance you might not have taken on your own.
I will lift up my eyes.
Using your voice is the most personal way to make music. And when voices join together, the result can be a glorious sound. Dr. Walter Turnbull has made the Boys Choir of Harlem his life's work.
it's something about mine that doesn't get legato. I will lift up mine eyes. I have to have singing through the mind.
Very often, kids don't realize that they can sing. And that's the joy of discovering children who have an ear, who have a voice. Not everyone has a singing voice. but I'm often known to tell the kids I can teach a doorknob to sing.
Being in the choir, I've learned about myself that I can sing, first of all, and that I can be a leader too. It makes you more mature or be more of a man than to be a little boy.
Intelligence.
Freedom, joy. I feel glad when I sing.
Yeah, this thing you're supposed to
I know from where my children have come. I've seen kids come in who are very negative, but coming to an environment where they're accepted, where first-class musicianship is expected, they sort of turn around. And to see them blossom and grow and become first-class musicians is extraordinarily important to me.
I want to become an opera singer, and now I know with this advantage and this boost that they've given me, I can make it.
If I wasn't in the choir, I don't think I ever would have gone to Japan or to Europe or Italy, France, Berlin.
Can you imagine that they know how to sing in Japanese because we went to Japan and they sang in Japanese?
Support, not thinking, and it's not loud. Nasty. Ugh.
They look like angels, but I am not sure that they're angels. As a matter of fact, I know they're not angels. but they're very, I think that what we have to instill in our kids is that sense of purpose, a sense of going for it. Do it. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Do it. Often have requests and help us to pick some of the music. And as a matter of fact, they have written a song called The Joy of Singing. A choir is many things. A choir has to work together. A choir has to play together in order to sing together. It's like the choir is like any basketball team, any football team.
I thank him for like taking us under his wing and teaching us to be like a responsible black man, because if I wasn't here, I'd probably be doing something stupid right now.
Nope.
It's like he's your friend. It's like he's somebody you could depend on, you could trust.
I know now that I am somebody and that I count. I never thought this would come to me.
And I'm never gonna forget the choir, because it would be the best times of my life.
Yeah.
For those young men, being a part of the boys' choir is not just about singing and dancing. It's also about the joy of performing for other people. When you sing or dance or make someone laugh, you're actually sharing a part of who you are with an audience. And that's what makes Peter Potofsky, this very funny man, very happy.
Please welcome Peter Potofsky.
The best way I can describe what I do is I'm a Warner Brothers cartoon. I'm a human animation. That's not a real face. That's not real. That's real. Okay, this is called a half a man. I always knew I was a clown. I always knew it was my job to entertain people. I would imitate everyone. My mother would be in hysterics. I'd imitate my brothers, my father, my grandmother. A blowfish snoring. When I'm on stage, I'm very frightened. I'm very terrified because I want the audience to love me so much that I'll do anything within reason. When I knew that I wanted to be a comedian, I said, okay, what do I need to do? I need to watch. Who do I watch? I watch the greatest comedians that ever lived. That's Charlie Chaplin, Lorne Hardy, Buster Keaton. Those are my teachers. That's how I learned to do all of my falls, double takes, attitude. When I was 15, I was watching a PBS special on Buster Keaton, and all it showed was all of his falls. And to me, that looked like ballet. He was, in my opinion, the greatest comedy filmmaker that ever lived. Throw me in the wall. Just whip me into the wall. When you see someone do a fall, don't ever just try to do it, because you will hurt yourself. All of my falls are all illusions. They look like I hurt, it's acting. I make believe I hurt myself.
No!
So how you doing?
Where are you from? Nice looking audience. Very calm.
The whole thing is to make it look easy. The thing is to show people that I'm not really hurt. It's like when I go like this, I'm just gonna take a drink of water, and I just go. I hit it with my ring. I'd love to make the whole planet laugh. That's what I want to do. I want to give it to as many people as I can and make everyone happy.
Peter loves what he does because his relationship with the audience is electric. Performing before any audience is exciting, but what almost every performer dreams of is being on the Broadway stage. In fact, for some, it's just the cat's meow.
Where Lonnie Ackerman, the actress, becomes Grizabella, the glamour cat. I love playing her, but the best part is becoming her.
Okay, here comes the nose. I really feel like my eyes are beginning to stand out, like cat's eyes. Whereas before, they were just human eyes.
I
when my makeup and hair are ready, I know it's close to showtime.
Okay, cats, half hour call, half hour to get ready.
I've dreamt of being on Broadway. When I'm up on stage, everything comes together. My makeup, my costume, my voice. I am a cat.
If you touch me,
there are so many shows, it's really hard to choose. Listen to what some people are saying. Thrilling. Exhilarating. A laugh riot. Don't miss it. Wow, they all sound great. You know, one way to choose a good show is to listen to what others have to say about it. And the same is true for choosing a good book. So, here are three smash hits that you won't want to miss, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Sylvia, and I'm having a tip-tapping, finger-snapping kind of day. That's because I read this book called My Mama Had a Dancing Heart. The mother and daughter in this story love to dance together. They celebrate when the rain comes. They do a Hello Summer ballet. In the autumn, they dance with the falling leaves. The wind sounds like music to them. They make snow angels for a winter ballet. When the girl grows up, she remembers how it felt to dance with her mom. After you read this book, you'll feel like kicking off your shoes. So celebrate with My Mama Had a Dancing Heart.
Hi, I'm Chad Burgos, and I'd like to tell you about a magical story that I just read called The Dancing Man. The story begins with a boy named Joseph. He lives in a quiet town. There's no laughing, there's no dancing. One evening, he meets a man with a green hat and silver shoes. I'm the Dancing Man, and I have a gift for you. The gift is a pair of silver shoes. Joseph dances from place to place. One slow step, one quick step. His dancing makes people feel good. I like dancing too. I don't want to give the ending away, so please feel free to go to your nearest library and check out this book, The Dancing Man.
Hi, my name is Sehan. If you're a person who loves singing or animals, wait until you hear the story, The Old Man Who Loved to Sing. The hero of this story is an old man. He lives in a deserted valley. There are no people, but there are plenty of animals. The old man loves to sing. If he isn't singing, he's whistling. If he isn't whistling, then he's listening to his gramophone. As time went on, the man grew older and older. He didn't sing as much. The animals missed his songs. Pretty soon, the animals made music of their own. The Old Man Who Loved to Sing is the coolest picture book I've ever read. So be sure and check it out.
Whether it's for a big Broadway audience, for your school play, or just for the fun of it, there's nothing better than the feeling you get when you perform. So find the performer inside of you. You might be surprised at the talent you discover. Well, I gotta go. As Aunt Lena would say, and now the magic begins. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are When Aunt Lena Did the Rumba by Eileen Curtis Kleinman, illustrated by Diane Greenside, published by Hyperion Books for Children. My Mama Had a Dancing Heart by Libba Moore Gray, illustrated by Raul Colon, published by Orchard Books. The Dancing Man by Ruth Lurcher Bornstein, illustrated by Ruth Lurcher Bornstein, published by Clarion Books, an imprint of the Houghton Mifflin Company. The Old Man Who Loved to Sing by John Winch, illustrated by John Winch, published by Scholastic Press.